All right, this one is kind of one of those common sense things, although you can make an argument that just about all of these things are common sense things. Episode 568 of Diz Runs Radio is a quick tip episode. Today's quick tip, treating and preventing heat illness. Hey guys, real quick before we dive into today's episode, still have a few more reviews to go through. Like I said, a lot of reviews came in the last couple of weeks, and excited for that and appreciative to that. This whole week has been nothing but reading some reviews, which is awesome. And thank you again to everybody who's left a review recently, everybody who's left a review well in the past. Certainly appreciate it. And if you're willing to jump on board and get your reviews in and kind of show your support for the show that way, head over to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or whatever app or platform or whatever that you use to listen to the show. If it takes reviews, I appreciate them. And certainly, the iTunes ones are, it's a little bit, as I've said before, a little bit difficult to get through all the hoops that you have to jump through, but I very much do appreciate it. So a few folks to thank today. I just want to give a shout out to Laura Mean, who says, easy to listen to, great tips, love it. Puh. Short, sweet, to the point, which is something that the quick tips haven't been much of lately. But thank you, Laura. I really appreciate that review, and glad that you enjoy it. And hopefully you'll continue to listen. I'll keep bringing it. Hopefully keep bringing some good tips as well. And hope that you continue to enjoy the show. Next one comes from Sunglow354, who says, this is so inspiring, informative, and interesting. I love that the interviews are with everyday runners. It makes me appreciative of what I can do and inspires me to keep going. Appreciate that review, and I'm glad, that's one of the things that I enjoy about the folks that I get to talk to is that, faster, slower, whatever the case might be, every once in a while we get some elites on the show, but it's nice to talk to folks like you and me as well. And so I'm glad that you enjoy that, and hopefully you enjoy those interviews, those conversations. And again, Sunglow, appreciate your review today. And the last one from this batch comes from The Real G. Says, this is my go-to podcast right now. I heard a couple of Denny's interviews on other podcasts and thought I'd check out his podcast. I have not been disappointed. I've just started my running journey, and it's awesome to hear the experiences of Denny and his guests. I think anyone, no matter where they are with their running journey, would enjoy listening to this entertaining, welcoming, and fun podcast. Oh, and I just ordered your book. Thanks, Gary. Well, thank you, Gary, A, for leaving the review, B, for checking out the show after, hearing it on other people's podcasts. I'm glad that you were able to hear that and took the chance on listening to my show, and glad that you've enjoyed it, and certainly glad that you ordered the book, too. All the support from you, Gary, and very much appreciate it. Hope that the book helps you as well, and let me know how that goes for you, what you think of it when you've had a chance to go through it. So once again, to Laura, to Laura Mean, Sunglow354, and The Real G, appreciate y'all for leaving those reviews. And again, if you want to jump on board and leave a review, it would always be appreciated. So today's episode, kind of part two from last week. So if you missed episode 365, or 36, good Lord, episode 565 from last week, just a couple episodes back in your feed, we talked about the signs and symptoms of heat illness. And something that I feel like I've talked about just about every year, and I'll probably continue to talk about just about every year because it's serious, it's important, it's something that we need to always be aware of. And so if you missed that one, you definitely want to circle back and grab that episode, give it a listen. Make sure you know what you're aware of to look for, not only in yourself when it comes to signs and symptoms of heat illness, but also, and the different levels, I don't want to forget that, the three different levels, heat cramps, heat exhaustion, heat stroke, but also what to look for in the folks that you may be running with. You've got some running partners that you're training with this summer, whether you're training for a race or you're just part of the local running community and you run together on a regular basis. You want to make sure you're looking out for them too. So, some of the signs and symptoms that others may exhibit that would show that maybe they're starting to overheat. And, you can be aware of that because when it comes to heat illness, if you address it early, nip it in the bud, it's definitely going to be the best option, the easiest recovery, the least dangerous, things like that. And that's kind of what we're getting into today. So looking at how to treat heat illness and maybe more importantly, how to prevent it. Because if there's ever one thing where an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, I think heat illness might be that thing. So first, though, I do want to dive into kind of how to treat heat illness because it's not entirely difficult. It's not overly complicated, But time is of the essence. So like I said, the earlier you can address it and then the earlier you can start to take action, the better off that situation is going to be, whether it's for you or for someone that you're running with. So the first thing you can do, the most important thing you can do, if you feel like you're starting to get some of that dizzy, nausea, excess fatigue, things like that, maybe some crampings to start, is to just stop running. You know, there's that old saying that the first thing you should do when you find yourself in a hole is to stop digging. Well, that's exactly the case right here as well. The first thing you should do when you find yourself developing a case of heat illness, or you suspect that maybe that your body's starting to overheat, stop working, stop running, stop mowing the grass, whatever it is that you're doing that's bringing about this heat illness situation. You know, the core temperature rising and starting to not feel like your normal self. Stop doing it. Stop doing it. Yes, you might almost be finished. Yes, you might have, you know, goals that you need to get a certain number of miles today to reach your mileage goal for the week, whatever. None of that shit's important, okay? In the grand scheme of things, none of it's important. Yes, it takes a little bit of a hit to the pride. The ego suffers a little bit because you, quote unquote, wimped out because it was too hot. But guess what? It beats a trip to the ER. Certainly beats a trip to the morgue. So don't play pun mostly intended here, don't play with fire. If you feel like you're overheating and you're starting to really develop some of those symptoms and signs that I talked about last week, err on the side of caution. Err on the side of caution. Shut it down now. All right? Once you do that, though, don't just stop running or stop working in the yard or whatever and just hang out there. Like, it's time to start taking, again, the quicker we take action, time is of the essence, the easier the recovery process, the quicker the recovery process, you know, the less, you know, ramifications that you'll feel the next day or longer term or anything like that. So stop running, stop working in the yard, whatever it is, you got the heat illness coming along, cease that activity, and then find a cooler place. Hopefully, if you have, you know, if you're out on a run, maybe you're in town or you're near your home, you can get into the air conditioning ASAP. You can walk into a store or a shop or a restaurant or a building, something, and maybe call somebody to pick you up. If you've got your phone with you, you can call somebody to come get you, and you get in the car with the air conditioning. Whatever the case might be, try to get into a cooler environment, because that's what your body's trying to do. When you're overheating, you're developing these heat illness symptoms, well, make it a little bit easier on your body to cool your core temperature down. If you're staying outside in the sunshine and the heat and the humidity, yes, you're not running anymore, so you're not generating as much heat, but your environment is still hot. It's still warm. So it's going to be harder for your body to cool itself down. So, you know, if you can't get inside, you can't get in the air conditioning, get into the shade. Find a place with a breeze or start your own breeze. Fan yourself, which is going to help to increase the evaporation of your sweat, which is going to help you to cool down more. You know, if you're out on a trail somewhere, hopefully, maybe you're near a stream or a pond or a lake or a river, something like that with some water that's much cooler than the atmosphere and hopefully safe to be in. Get in the water. Use a cooler environment to bring your temperature down, to help you get out of that heat illness zone and back into normal temperature zone. All right. Yeah, you're going to be soaked. It might be a little bit messy, dirty, whatever. But again, it beats the alternative. All right. Next step, strip down as much as you can. You can, you know, if you're not in super danger, life or death zone, you don't have to, you can keep modesty in play. But if you've got layers on, that's decreasing the amount of surface area of your skin, of your body that's exposed to the environment. And that area that's exposed to the environment is where the sweating and the evaporation of perspiration takes place, which is what your body is doing to cool itself. So if you get into a cooler environment and you can take your shirt off, you know, guys, you can take your shirt off. Ladies, you got your sports bra on. You know, yes, it might be a little bit, you know, a little bit of a modesty issue or something like that. Maybe you're not completely comfortable. But again, we're talking about a slightly more serious thing than being a little bit embarrassed because of whatever, you know, whatever might be going on underneath your shirt. Okay. You got the coverage on, take the shirt off if you can, or at least raise it up, you know, maybe tuck the bottom into the bottom of your sports bra or roll your sleeves up, whatever you can do, expose more. And you know, guys, same thing. Just pull that shirt up a little bit, let the belly show. We're all good. Again, we're trying to cool down. We're trying to expose as much skin as possible to the air, to the atmosphere, to the environment, which will, even if it's hot and humid, the more skin that's showing, the more perspiration is going to take place. So, you know, if that's an option, if you can avoid, or if you can embrace a slight case maybe of immodesty, go for it. Do it. Show some skin. It's going to help you cool down. And then finally, make sure you're pumping the fluids. Get some water back in you. Because all that sweat that's coming out is water that's leaving your system to try to help cool your body. You need to replace that. Okay. And that's going to make the longer term recovery process. It's going to make how you feel the next day, how you feel later that day better if you're getting those fluids back in you. So that may not do as much in the moment to cool you down. If you're drinking some cooler water, that's going to help just a little bit. But getting that water back in your system is important. If it's serious enough, if you think that you're in the verge of heat stroke territory, call 911. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. If you're literally cooking your body from the inside out, get the EMS involved, get the paramedics involved, get the ambulance to you, get in it, head to the hospital where they can, do other things to help cool you and also monitor your vitals and make sure that you're not getting into a super, super, super dangerous territory. So, if it's really bad, 911. If not, stop what you're doing. Get out of the heat as much as you can. Try to get into the shade at worst, air conditioning or a real cool area at best. Strip some layers if possible and get the fluids back in you. That's the best way to try to treat a heat illness situation. The simple ways. You can get a little bit more in depth, but let's talk practical. What are you going to do when you're out on a run? Those are the things to do. Now, knowing how to treat heat illness, important. Knowing how to prevent heat illness, muy, muy importante, all right? That's what you want to do. An ounce of prevention is almost always worth a pound of cure, and it's certainly true when it comes to talking about heat illness. So that said, it's not like it's a super cut and dry, just do this and you will automatically prevent all cases of heat illness, all right? It doesn't work like that. Everybody talks about staying hydrated, and staying hydrated is important, but it's not the end-all be-all. You can drink all the water in the world, and you can still get heat illness. You can still suffer from the heat on race day or during your training run. Likewise, you can show up in a dehydrated state in the same conditions and be just fine. All right. So water is important. Make sure you're drinking enough. And what is enough? The best way is to do the pee test. Check your urine when you're going to the bathroom. The lighter, paler color yellow that it is, the more hydrated that you are. So make sure you're drinking enough fluids to stay in that light yellow colored area of your urine. If it starts getting dark yellow, orange, brown, something like that, we got problems. If it gets really dark, we got serious life-threatening emergency situation going on. So, if it starts to get really dark, your kidneys are in a bad place. Like black, that's not good. But as long as it's in the yellow family, lighter the better. If it's getting to be an orangish type of color or a really dark, ambery type of shade, you're dehydrated. You need to be pumping more fluids. And there's all kinds of images that you can find to kind of get a color gradient scale. I posted one up in the show notes for today, dizruns.com/568. That was one from an ultra race that actually shows different color beers. So if it looks like Coors Light, you're good. If it looks like a pale ale, you're starting to be in dehydrated mode. So you want to hydrate a little bit more. If it looks like an IPA, you really need to pump the fluids. And if it looks like a Guinness, that's where you're having some kidney issues and you need to get off the trail, get off the road, stop your run and get some fluids in there and definitely get EMS involved. Hopefully you're not going to be in that Guinness territory, but I got a feeling that more than a few of you are going to be in the pale ale / IPA territory, which means you need to be drinking more water. And there is no certain amount. You just need to monitor your urine, monitor your what's coming out to make sure that you're putting enough in. And do me a favor, when it comes to hydration, don't just worry about that in the summer. Worry about that year round because it's going to improve your performance if you're well hydrated. So take care of that, in December and January too, not just in June and July, okay? But definitely being hydrated in the summer is important, but it's not the only thing. It's not the cure-all like so many other blogs, so many other races. Every time I go to a Disney race and it's moderately warm, they're like, make sure you're drinking enough water. Well, yeah, that's important, but guess what? There's a whole lot of other stuff that we need to be doing too. So, be hydrated, but be hydrated year-round. It's going to improve your performance, going to keep you safe. It does play a part in avoiding overheating, but it's not the end-all be-all. So what are some other things you can do? Make sure you're eating well. All right. When you're running and training and racing in the heat, your body is working overtime because the first priority of your body, believe it or not, is not getting your PR. It's not running your race. The first thing that your body is worried about doing is preventing your core temperature from rising too high. So when you're placing extra demands on your body by saying, we're gonna run this race and we're going to run it hard, you know, your body's splitting its energy reserves to two places. It's splitting it to running fast, and it's also, whoa, hitting the microphone here. I don't know if you heard that or not, but I guess I just made it clear. And you're also splitting the energy demand to cooling itself, to sending enough blood to the surface of your body, to your skin, to perspirate, to sweat, and to then that evaporates, and that's how your body cools itself. So you need some energy. You need some fuel to do that. Okay. I went back in a previous life when I worked at one of the Orlando area theme parks, because I wasn't an official employee there. I was contracted, and supposedly I can't talk about exactly which of the theme parks that is run by a mouse that I was associated with. Every day, almost during the summer months, when the parade was going on and there were people out there in those big, heavy, thick costumes, spoiler alert, hopefully that didn't ruin the magic for anybody. Another hint. But during those parades, almost, maybe not every day, but at least once a week, somebody would suffer from overheating, kind of get into the heat cramp, heat exhaustion category. And 9 times out of 10, they'd been drinking plenty of water that day, plenty of fluids, but they hadn't eaten anything. Maybe they had a little something for breakfast and then no extra calories all through the day, or they were eating garbage, you know, fried crap and things that aren't going to help you feel well. And then they go out there, they got all this water in their system, but they've got no fuel, no electrolytes, nothing that, well, probably had electrolytes because they were drinking a lot of Powerade too, but nothing of substance, nothing to fuel their body. And so the body starts to shut. It doesn't have the fuel, to cool itself like it needs to, while also, you know, carrying out the demands of in that case, parade choreography, in our case, running. So you got to make sure you're eating. And the warmer it is, the more important it is to have some good fuel. Spoiler alert again, kind of like with the hydration, good fuel year round, probably going to be a good thing for, you know, your running, your training, your health. Doesn't mean you can't have a treat once in a while. Doesn't mean you can't splurge and enjoy a good meal or something decadent or a great treat or a nice dessert. But for the most part, you know, better fuel equals better results. So if reaching your goals, whatever they are, is important to you, an area that you may be able to improve upon year-round, but especially in the summertime to stay safe with heat illness, is your diet. All right, two more quick ones, and then we'll wrap up this moderately long tip for today. Run early or late. All right, this one is kind of one of those common sense things, although you can make an argument that just about all of these things are common sense things, and yet every year people are still suffering from heat illness out there on their runs because they're running in the middle of the day. All right, now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist. You know, it takes about, I don't know, I'm not sure if Addie can put those pieces together yet. She might still be a little bit young, but I don't know. By the time you get to be what? 6, 7, 8, 10 years old, something like that. You recognize that it's cooler in the morning, it's hottest in the middle of the day, and then it cools back down again in the evening, right? I mean, hopefully everybody listening to this has put those pieces of the puzzle together yet. All right. If the only time you can run is during the middle of the day, that's a tough nut to crack. All right. And I would argue that you could probably, with a little bit of shuffling around, make things work either in the morning, getting out of bed and getting out there early, or running later in the day. Now, that may not always be the best situation. You know, it might not be the most convenient, one or the other for you. May not be super convenient for you. But if you're serious about running and serious about training and serious about avoiding or minimizing at least as much as possible your risk for a heat illness this year, avoid running in the heat of the day. If you have to run in the heat of the day, you know, keep it short. Keep the exertion really easy. You know, when I was also working at said theme park in Orlando, I did a lot of midday running because I could run during my lunch break, and I wasn't enough of a morning person at that time in my life to get up and run, you know, at 5 o'clock in the morning before I had to head up to head over on I-4 to the parks. So I would do a lot of runs at noon, because that was when I could sneak out and go based on what my job descriptions and requirements and responsibilities were. But it was always for about 3 miles, and that was it. That was, you know, I could handle it. My body could handle it. If I tried to go any longer than that, I'd get into trouble. I'd start to feel like I was definitely overheating. I could get out, get back, and get cooled down. You know, and so I had to recognize that I couldn't be building much more fitness at that point. So recognize kind of where you are, no speed work, things like that, middle of the day. Keep that stuff early, keep that stuff late. As much as you can, keep all your runs either early or late. But if you have to run midday, slow down. shorten the distance, be smart, be safe, don't press your luck when it comes to heat illness. And then last but not least, I could probably do another half a dozen tips, but that would be a 45-minute quick tip and feel like you probably wouldn't stick with me that long. Just being honest. But the last of the tips for today for preventing and avoiding or at least minimizing your risk of dealing with a heat-related issue in training this summer is to get off the streets, get off the roads, and that may mean, and you know that this hurts my heart to say this, it may mean heading inside and getting on the treadmill. Or heading inside and getting... I could do an indoor track. That'd be easier to handle than the treadmill. But it may mean that you head inside. If the environment is too bad, if it's too hot, too humid, too gross outside, then as much as it may not be your thing to be on the treadmill, like you all know it's not mine, maybe that's the way to go. Maybe that's what you got to do to try to be safe and to reduce your risk of a heat illness. You're running the air conditioning. You probably can have a fan on you, things like that. Definitely a lot safer from a heat related standpoint, especially if you can't get up and get out there early or get out there later in the evening. All right. Another option to get off the street where, you know, I mean the roads, the sidewalks, the asphalt, that all absorbs heat through the day. So this is especially true if you're running later in the day, that it all absorbs heat and it radiates back off. You know, the buildings, if you're in a more urban area, it can trap the heat. It can reflect the heat off of high, you know, higher story windows and send it back down to where you are running. Even though the sun is starting to set, you're still getting blasted by the sun because of reflections, things like that. So getting off the street by either running inside or if you can head to the trails, it's not a bad option. All right. You know, it's still going to be kind of warm. You're still going to have the same overall temperature, but you're not going to get that radiation of heat off of the ground. You may get some shade out of the deal. You know, if it's a shady trail, a single track somewhere, might be likely to get a little bit more of a breeze, some trail, some less heat. You know, and not to mention the fact that it probably cuts down on your worry of car traffic and things like that. So maybe getting off the street would be a good option this summer. All right. When it comes to, you know, in closing, when it comes to preventing heat illness, it's not a perfect puzzle. You can do everything right and still suffer some bouts of issues related to the heat. But just like anything, when you talk about injury prevention or things like that, the more things that you do, quote unquote, right, the lower your chances, the less the risk. And if you do have a little bout of heat related issues, odds are you're going to have a quicker recovery process and be back to full strength probably as early as tomorrow, certainly within the next couple of days, than if you're not staying well hydrated, not eating well, running in the heat of the day, running always on the roads, things like that. If/when it crops up then, it's going to be a little bit longer process. So be smart there this summer. Be aware, like I said last week, like I've said earlier today as well, look out for others. Look out for the people that you're running with, your friends, the people you care about. And make sure they're looking out for you too, because I know it's easy for myself, and I'm going to assume it's probably easy for a lot of you as well, to kind of get into that, oh, I'll be fine. I just have another couple of miles, that kind of mentality. And then you push yourself through and you make what's at most likely just a little situation becomes that much bigger, that much more serious, that much more of a hassle to overcome. So be smart, be aware, look out for your friends, look out for your fellow runners, and don't mess with the heat. If you're feeling it, if you're feeling bad, if you're feeling worn down, shut it down. Come back next time and pick up where you left off and you'll be just fine. Okay? Hopefully. That's the idea at least. So that's what we'll wrap up for today. Be smart, be safe this summer, y'all. It's important. Don't want to hear about anybody dropping out due to heat related issues. That's no fun for anyone. So hopefully you'll keep some of these ideas and lessons and methods in mind. And again, check out episode 565 for the signs and symptoms of heat illness if you haven't done so already. So with that, thank you again to everybody who's left reviews. It's been a pleasure reading through them in the last few episodes and sharing them with everybody. And I just can't stress enough how much I appreciate that. So if you haven't left a review yet, and you would be willing to navigate through the Apple Podcasts and iTunes directories to find it and do so, would appreciate it. And until next time, please be well, take good care, be safe out there this weekend, this next week, this summer, whatever. Always be safe. And that way, hopefully you can come back and listen to the next episode, right? But until next time, please be well, and we'll talk soon. See you.